What's going on, everybody? Thanks for tuning again to episode 3 of the Creepcast, hosted by Rick Creeper. This is going to be a solo podcast. This is going to be me speaking for about an hour. Just a quick update how my 2019 haunting season was, not only working at Dark Harbor, Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, but Sinister Point, also a home haunt, and experiencing the park. So I went from being a cannibalistic chef to a old-timey gravedigger named Gravedigger Joe, and being an unknown demon from a different portal or different world, but Sinister Point. So that being said, you guys, hope you enjoy this episode 3 of the Creepcast, my solo cast of my 2019 haunt experience. Hope you guys enjoy. Thanks. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. I know it's been a while, but thank you for tuning in to episode 3 of the Creepcast, hosted by me, Rick Creeper 11. So thanks, guys. I know it's been a minute. It's been an interesting September and October of just spooky horror business and scaring and going to different parks and just enjoying that haunt season. For a lot of us, haunt season, you know, the definition of haunt season for most, it's, hey, theme parks start doing things. The theme parks, Independence, the big haunts, start kicking them off in mid-September and they go until early November. For some of us, it starts, late spring. Excuse me. So it's been an interesting second year of haunt for me. For those that don't know, I took a gamble on becoming a scare actor last year, 2018 haunt season with Sinister Point. I decided to do this in my mid-40s. Actually, I give myself credit, early 40s. I'm not that old, dude. To get into scare acting. For those that probably know, those that don't know, it had fun. It was a blast. I was going to recap and compare the two. It was a blast. My very first year, met a lot of new friends, a lot of networking, and did a lot of things since. So what I decided to do on this episode, this is going to be a recap of my 2019 haunt season. And people were like, you know what, Rick, haunt ended like 2 weeks ago. I know that, dude. I'm fully aware of it. Shit happens. Life happens. You know, went back to work. I was off for 17 days. I actually work in haunt. Excuse me. And that time I was on vacation, not only I was able to work, but I was able to explore the other parks and do other things and hang out with some people. But unfortunately, I got sick as a dog. So this is going to be a recap of my 2019 haunt experience. From working at Dark Harbor, from going back to Sinister Point and working with them, also working in a home haunt, the 1870 Haunt Manor, and checking out the other haunts as well. So let's recap. I'm just kind of flow with this, just kind of, you know, freestyle. I'm not really gonna edit this. I'm just off the top of my head. I'm not gonna read a script. I mean, there's some highlights I have in my head, things that happen, but this is gonna be Rick. This is Rick. No Rick Creeper. This persona, this dude that everyone keeps like referring me to on Instagram of this podcast. This is just Rick talking right now. So 2019 was very interesting. I've been busy as hell going back to like Midsummer Scream, doing different stuff for different people. And I'm more than grateful, more than thankful. It just, I never imagined compared to what I did last year. Excuse me. Compared to what I had to do this year. Not had to, but I chose to. Day and night. Going from a guy that had little to no experience to knowing nobody at all. To being just a person filling in a spot. To like getting acknowledgement. To getting a lot of praise and recognition, which is cool. And I'm more than grateful. I'm just really surprised how small this community actually is. And what I mean by community, it's the haunt community. The haunters, the builders, the designers, the makeup artists, everyone. Guys, there's people that you don't realize, there's people that are actually building mazes and they're scaring out at the same time. Or there's people doing media coverage. I've always been a fan from a distance. I've never got myself so involved like I've had in the last year. And what's a trip? You know, I've always wanted to do this when I was younger. I had a short stint with Knott's when I was 19. It lasted like a week and a half. And at the time, I wasn't just in the, you know, the most stable situation. I was 19, going to school, living with my parents, didn't have a car, didn't have money, whatnot. So I wasn't able to drive Knott's Berry Farm back and forth. I think hence why, you know, I decided to take this plunge when I was 42, I'm 43 now, to do this because it stimulated my life. I have a decent paying job with benefits and whatnot, and vacation time that allows me to do what I want to do. Hence why I also offer vacation for 17 days to go work Dark Harbor and do other stuff in Sinister Point as well. So where do we start? Definitely a different experience this year. And I'm going to be honest, good and bad. And again, this is a reflection of my experience, what I seen, what I saw, what I heard, and also what I personally, how I felt. No bad impressions, nothing against anybody I worked with or talked to or whatnot. This is my experience. This is my perspective. So again, I'm not one to bash people. It's just, I am one to surround myself around people that I want to be around. So nothing negative here. It's just my perspective. So 2019, obviously, I worked at Queen Mary this year. Sorry, it's got a funny text. Didn't know what to expect. I admit it, I was nervous. Like I said, 1 year of experience working with Sinister Point, which was fucking amazing. And I did so much with them, for them, or alongside with them since. Spirit Lounge, which was in Brea, helping with the Ready or Not experience and Midsummer Scream this year. And also working the Scary Closet walkthrough maze at Son of Monster Palooza, amongst other things as well. I did a good experience a little bit, not a lot. Actually helping paint and build a few pieces, you know, small components of some mazes. I never really talked about it, just closely with some friends, but I was asked to help out with Sinister Point to help provide manual labor, even just unexperienced framing and just carrying shit and actually piecing together stuff, which is wood screws and a cordless drill, some of their maze for the Mist experience. So this, or what Sinister Point did, was an event called the Mist, and it was an open range haunt that was a scavenger hunt. I thought the concept was amazing. I loved it. It had mixed reviews, but you know what? They're like, yeah, Rick, you're just being, you know, you're showing favoritism because you're Sinister Point. Maybe I am, but honestly, it was a very unique experience that no one else has ever done. I give everyone from that, you know, from that side of, they're my family. Everyone from Sinister Point credit, Jeff and all the other, Paul, everyone who came up with this concept and built it. It was amazing. At the same time, a lot of people don't know, they built the Midnight Mortuary maze that was at the Hayride. So that was, give credit to where credit's due. So that was cool. I got to experience that this year. So I would literally work all day in September. And I think just the Spirit Lounge just ended. I had a week off. I think Spirit Lounge ran from, I don't know, was it like August 8th to September 1st? And literally the following week, I was driving down to Westminster. I'm sorry, guys. The weather changes. I got my sinuses all jacked up. I was literally driving from Irvine to Westminster working. Yeah, I mean, it was like two, maybe three nights a week, if that, for like maybe 2-3 weeks, just helping them build stuff and paint and whatnot. And at the same time, just getting ready. And I went and, you know, doing orientation at Dark Harbor. So I was very active. I was all over the map this haunt season. I was bouncing back and forth between work and Westminster and then going to Long Beach here and there. At the same time, I'm sitting there at work in my downtime, or just either jotting things down or just taking mental notes when I'm at the gym or work at home of things I want to do, other creative projects. And there's a reason why I bring that up, because one of these crazy brainstorm ideas that I came up with is actually it's actually manifesting this week. And how could I say this? I never imagined this idea that I came up with sitting in this movie theater here in downtown Santa Ana, coming up with an event and just getting the right people around and just creative minds, like minds, and just, hey, I got this idea. What do you think? How much is it going to cost? What's it going to take? I'm not doing this for profit. I'm doing this for creative reasons. And I think it'd be fucking cool because no one else is really doing nothing like this. pitched it to a couple people. They agreed, brought some people on that not only I could feel help could help me do this, but also people that I know, love, and trust. That being said, just this idea that went from paper to like kind of a loosely based meeting with people at the Frida Cinema. And I'm going to say it, the hell with it. It's going to start getting promoted this week, which is today's the 17th of November, and they're going to start promoting this event in a couple days. So maybe the podcast will be out before then. So, no, I'm not giving up too much. Just this crazy idea of this event or experience I came up with is actually manifesting, and I can't believe that. And I just got this creative bug ever since last year. And it went from completely not to know what to do with my time ever since, you know, 2018 haunt season ended, and here comes January and I'm depressed. There's nothing to do. I'm reaching out to different people. I'm like, hey, what do you guys do in the off season? They're like, well, we do Ren Faire. They do Renaissance Faire in Irwindale and Corona Ren Faire, which I got the experience and that was totally cool. Through my friend Joel, love you to death. It just still wasn't enough. Then I met this bobblehead mother effer, Scaredy Kai Vasquez, this YouTuber who covers all the haunt events and these extremes and these immersives and whatnot. We did a video. We done more videos. We done podcasts. We done these janky little commercials for, you know, the internet and whatnot. We done different things and photos and whatnot. And I just noticed, I'm like, hey, there's enough to do in between haunt season. There's photography, there's videography, there's this creative concepts I can write on paper, and they might not manifest right away, but who knows? Maybe later on down the road, this would actually become something. Hell, I admit it. I think one day I might want to do my own haunt. Maybe I'll, you know, nothing on the big end, something on the small end, you know, something, I don't know, something in the 1,000-foot square warehouse, and it's out of my pocket. I have to surround myself around the right people. Just an idea. So anyways, what I lacked last year when I wasn't able to do, like I was able to make up, correction. What I lacked at the beginning of this year, just being around the right people and connecting them and earning their trust and show, look, you know, and earning their keep when I'm earning my own keep. It's like, look, you guys could trust me. I could tell you whatever I want, and I have to prove it. And I put in the time and effort, and I earn those people trust and respect. This is why we're doing these potential projects outside the haunt industry. Anyways, so I'm rambling. So this year was different. I ended up at Dark Harbor, Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, and had no idea what to expect. All I know was it's like a giant carnival outside of a ship. A ship that's over 100 years old, I believe, that's actually haunted. And these maniacs decided to put the mazes in the ship, not only in the parts that are haunted, but the actual stories or legends or lore of incidents that happened. They created these characters that are loosely based, or they are based on people that died in the ship, like Scary Mary, Samuel the Savage, and then the Chef and Feast. Half Hatch Harry. So I got casted in a feast. And for those who know what feast is you're walking through the kitchen during the 1940 era of the Queen Mary, and they're all a bunch of cannibals. They're serving up people. And if I had the story correct, the chef was an actual person who was a tyrant who treated his staff like hell, and he got pushed in the oven, and he thought he died, and he didn't. He survived and eventually died of wounds later on. So he's the main character in Feast. Well, I got casted to play the second chef. Tim is the main chef. Yes, Tim, you're the chef. I know we said we are chef. No, you're the motherfucking chef. You're the one that you're the man. You set the standard, and I love you too, brother. Tim, he's a gentle giant, but I would never want to piss him off. He's got catcher mitts for fists, or for hands, I mean. He's the one that does all the advertisements. You see him on the ads as a chef. And what's funny was people confuse this sometimes. It's just because we're almost the same height. And we're both wearing the same makeup from a distance. They're like, hey, what's up, Tim? I'm like, hey, dude, it's Rick. So in the maze, in the feast, you know, there's random characters. There's cooks and sous chefs and, you know, bellhops and whatnot. When you go through the grinder on feast, You either go through the grinder or you walk through. You get the crawl space, or you just walk through. You're confronted by the chef, and he tells you to get in the oven. And Tim has his voice that just he would yell all night. This groggy, loud. What's the word I'm looking for? He had this growl, just this loud, just barbaric voice that echoed through the halls of the ship. And he would tell people, get in the oven, meat, fresh meat, just whatever. And that was the theme. These fucking maniacs. That was the theme of this entire maze. And we just kept that theme going. And so I didn't know what to do. And I admit it, I wasn't too excited to be in Feast. I'm going to be honest. I said, yeah, I'll do Feast. I had my heart set on a couple other mazes. But I was like, hey, you might not like your job, but you do it, you're in the spot. Then maybe here and there, they'll give you something that you really want to do. Or maybe they give you a little more leeway or get an incentive. Or they'll show you, not necessarily favoritism, show you gratitude. There's a difference between showing someone favoritism and then giving them something they actually earned. Excuse me. Let me do that on mic. So I was like, okay, as long as I'm not the chef. It just didn't speak to me. And I just felt like I wouldn't be able to do it justice. And what's funny, I grew into the role and actually grew into the role, liking the role. And I was allowed to put my own little creative twist as far as dialogue, which meant more to me than anything because I got approval from Tim. He's like, do your dialogue, do your shtick, you're running with it. It's amazing. So I got cast in a Feast. Then I got cast as the chef. So two things. I was excited at the same time, but I was nervous as hell. Didn't know what to expect, didn't know what to do. I'm playing the second chef, and there's three of us rotating in the spot. So there's two guys always permanently in there, and the breaker in between. So the chef was in the oven part, and then the guests go through the oven, they go through the skin room, they go down the stairs. You get to a landing where the music's changed, the environment's changed, the ambiance has changed, and I jump out, and I got this boo box, if that's what you want to call it. All it is like a doorway that either they frame in with like wood and panels, or they just put tarps. Oh, they just boxed in this doorway with tarps, and they gave me this gag. The gag was just a simple toggle and simple electrical that tied into, I believe, four horn strobes and two speakers. And they rigged it up so I could see the toggle, and the lights would trigger, and then give me a three-second delay. I would hit that. It would thunder and lightning, and I'll jump out and scare the hell out of everybody. So that was me. And in between that, Tim would jump in back and forth between us. So they obviously got a bunch of guys. There's three of us, maybe a fourth. We're all big dudes, 6'4", 200 some pounds plus, to look identical. What I did eventually, I just paid attention. I paid attention to Tim's voice, the certain pronunciations or octaves he would hit or certain just decibels. I said, okay, I'm going to mimic what he does so the people think that he's the chef or the chef's still down here. And so it was just so fucking stupid. I remember me just saying stuff like, and me trying to mimic Tim's voice. I'm like, get back in the oven, meat. Where do you think you're going, meat? And I'm like, get back here. Like they're trying to escape. And I throw in occasionally. I'm like, what are you looking at, pork chop? This is my horrible. It's funny because I'm doing an impersonation of me as a chef. It's like, I don't feel like doing the voice right now. And I just got a rhythm down. And then he'd come in and give me advice and everything. We were cracking up. Long story short, I had fun with it. But just something about it. And oh, great cast. The guys from cast. Nate, Quincy. Fuck, I'm missing a bunch of JD, Isaac, Danny. Danny played Half Hatch Harry, which we worked together over at Central Point last year. There's so many other fuckers I'm forgetting about. Brandon, who else? Just so that cast, they were like the Lost Boys. Not Lost Boy vampires, but the Lost Boys from Peter Pan. They were like these riffraff, like outcasts that just stuck out amongst everyone else. And they were their maze was in the deep part of the ship, way in the back. They had their own break room, their own bathroom. They had a pollock every Saturday. And during orientation, I see these fucking riffraff all sitting together. I don't know anybody. I know two people, if that. And I'm quiet. I don't know. I'm the new guy, whatever. And then as soon as they mention the Feast maze, I just hear meat, and everyone went fucking nuts on that cast. They're all yelling and being loud and rowdy. And I'm like, who are these fucking animals? Oh, these are the guys I'm going to work with. They created a standard from the beginning of that maze to the end. And just people were being dive bombed or just Pearl Harbored. What I mean by Pearl Harbored, it's a term in wrestling, like when someone's getting an interview and they get beat up by their rival. They were just being dive bombed by every actor in that maze. It was just high intensity, testosterone filled, and getting yelled at and being called, you know, meat sack or or fresh meat or get in the oven. And you're getting it the entire maze, and it seemed like the maze was forever, like never ending. And you get to the area that I'm in, and I heard people like, "Is it over yet?" And that was like the perfect setup. And I'd jump out, and I'd be like, "It never ends for you, meat," or you know, some stupid shit like that. And it went from like me calling people pork chop, lamb chop, chicken legs, meatballs, meat sacks. You get it. And people are like, "Oh, be careful, Dark Harbor. They overserve people. It's a different clientele." I see it. It wasn't that bad, honestly, because maybe I'm just accustomed to that, or it wasn't that bad. It was a good amount, you know, just like good and bad experiences. Some days were rough because I was sick, and some days we had a blast, and I couldn't stop laughing. It's just amazing cast, amazing crew. David and Wally, you're an amazing man. Thank you for the opportunity. Amazon, you're just amazing as well. These are all people from Dark Harbor that just helped me. They put me out there. And it's not a bad thing on them. This is me. I didn't have that fulfillment that I had last year. Maybe because, you know, 2018 was my very first experience working a haunt, and it was just a little more heartfelt. And so much me was dumped into this character. Now, the difference between the character I played last year and I played this year at Dark Harbor, last year I played the security guard in Evil on 2, who was demon possessed. I was allowed to really develop my dialogue, my interactions. I covered more areas. I covered up to 3 to 5 rooms at a time. I was able to incorporate my own things. I altered my uniform with permission. I was able to, you know, incorporate like a throw-up gag, which was disgusting, and kind of like a backstory. With playing the chef, you know, I can't necessarily go and buy contacts and wear fangs and have, you know, a green frohawk, you know, some people at Dark Harbor have that, but you know, hey, each his own. But I had a little creative fulfillment with my dialogue and props as well, with permission. I think just the difference between the two was I was playing a role that was very popular and was used in media, and people were expecting to see that, and I would have to stay within those boundaries. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, at Central Point, like I was given a generic character that grew in time, and a lot of me was invested in me. So the security guard was actually parts of me. The dialogue, the things he said, the backstories were probably parts of my life that I took and dumped it into it. So it was very, I was very involved in that role. So I was able to fulfill that creative fulfillment, which I didn't know I was doing. And I made it the last night, Halloween night last year, 2018, at Sinister Point. I got teary-eyed. It was very very emotional night. Not only you're tired, but you lived in this maze forever, and these people are your friends, and you hung out with this person and whatnot. With Dark Harbor, it just got to a point. And again, nothing against them, nothing against the cast or management or staff or whatnot. It was me. I just felt like it was a job. It was a fun job, don't get me wrong, but it felt like a job. Maybe because of the structure. It's a little more corporate. I don't know. And there's things I saw there I didn't agree with, and there's things that I saw that I did agree with. But again, that's just my perspective. And those things I'd agree with and didn't agree with, I could say this. It wasn't inside the cast of Feast. It wasn't with management or the talent supervision. It might've been with some other people I interacted with in makeup or other people in other mazes. But hey, when you have 300 some odd people in a room and they're all a bunch of creative minds or just people always performing, or jokers, clowns, you know, voice actors, real actors, fucking meatheads like me, not everyone's gonna see eye to eye. Everyone's got different personalities, different energy, and whatnot. So, again, you don't have to agree on everything you see or do or you talk to. But you can agree to disagree. And that's not a bad thing. That's just my perspective. So I didn't work the last week at Dark Harbor, and which was kind of cool because they had a very lenient schedule, which I never wanted to take advantage of. But they gave you a week's notice, like, hey, what day can you work the following week? And you tell them. And I just allowed myself to, I actually did more this year than I did last year. I allowed myself to go to Knott's Berry Farm, which was amazing this year. It felt like Halloween. The new mazes were cool. The old mazes, the continuous mazes were great. Hollows, please, Knott's, please keep developing the Hollows. I love that scare zone. I love that colonial just period and witches and the soldiers and pumpkin here. I love that. In the depths, just opening night was amazing. I loved it. It felt like Halloween. Hayride, it felt like Midtown USA, Halloween town, just Halloween festival, and it was campy. Hay and pumpkins. I love the whole concept of it. And just when the hayride ended and you walked through a cemetery, and it was like just campy, like vampires that were like metalheads from like 1985, and they were playing the Misfits, and I was like, well, this is fucking amazing. I loved it. That was a blast. Didn't experience our Dark Harbor because I was working it. The Sinister Points of Mist, it just was this oddball experience that was very unique, and to me, it's something they could do year round, like an escape room, and just change it up once in a great while. And it was this archaeological dig that went south, and it opened this portal, and these demons came out, and this town's abandoned. And you, as a guest, you're hired to go recover these 13 artifacts to shut down this portal. The place is completely fogged out, and just an abandoned town, and it's open. You could go to the left, you could go right, you go north, south, east, or west. But these monsters, the seers, are roaming throughout the whole entire area. So you have to go on a scavenger hunt while monsters hunt you. It was an amazing concept. I got to work it the last two nights of Haunt, November 1st and 2nd. There's some people were there I worked with last year at Searcher Point. I'm just more than grateful. Thank you, Myra, Jeff, Paul, and everyone. Let me come back and work with you guys and finish the season with you guys. This year, Universal, I love Universal to death. I've been going to their attraction off and on since 2017. No, excuse me, 2017. More like 1997. It just didn't feel like Halloween to me. Pandora's Box was cool. The Frankenstein versus Wolfman was amazing. House of a Thousand Corpses. It was very nostalgic. It was cool to see Captain Spaulding, especially since Sid Haig literally passed away, I think a week prior to me going, which was October 6th. I just felt like it lacked luster this year. And it's sad because I'm a big supporter of Universal. I'm not saying I'm not going to go ever again, but probably not my favorite year, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to go ever again. It's just, I really, really hope to go the route that Orlando does and just brings original mazes, which I'm, oh my God, Holidays in Hell. Holidays in Hell was what, a scare zone? They turned into an actual haunt. That was cool. It was fun. It was very campy. Again, elaborate sets and just decor and lighting. And I love that. It just didn't feel like Halloween to me. So Knott's did, so did the Hayride. And then Sinister Points, the Mist just was this freaky, just off the wall, just scavenger hunt in an abandoned town. And I wish they would do something like that year round and just change it up occasionally, just like the escape rooms do. So that being said, and sorry guys if I'm rambling, this is me being me. I'm going to take a quick little break, kind of look at my notes, which I think I loosely wrote down somewhere. We'll come back and wrap up 2019 and some of the stuff that's going on in my life and an update about the Creekcast. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Hold on a second. Forgot to mention something. Your boy, Rick, Rick Creeper, whatever the hell you want to call me. Not only was I acknowledged for my performance in Dark Harbor and earned a top performer shirt, which is very honorable and commendable, my second weekend there, at Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, in the Feast Maze, playing this chef. I also received Outstanding New Monster Award at the wrap party, which unfortunately I didn't get to attend, for the 2019 haunt season inside the Feast Maze. I just thought I'll let you guys know. There you go, and thank you. Let's get back to the podcast. That's right. Okay, so I'm going to just jump back into this. One thing, I'm going to recap a little bit more on Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. The guys from Feast were, they were just top-notch gentlemen and ladies that accepted me as family. And if I'm a person that keeps himself at first, and I'll talk to people when I'm spoken to, and I'm always respectful and kind and whatnot. But once you earn that trust and respect and love, I look at you differently from everybody else. And I could honestly say that's how I felt about pretty much 97% of Feast. And 3%, we probably didn't really talk. So sorry, guys. Nothing personal. We just didn't talk. We didn't have time to talk. They were just a bunch of dudes that have been working together, I believe, in that maze for 3 years and probably longer in other mazes prior. And they took me in. They gave me the ins and outs. And I just wanted to thank everyone from Feast that did that. You guys make me feel like family. You're the ones that made my experience memorable at Dark Harbor. There was a few things I didn't agree with, you know, out in the general public, but that's fine, because as soon as I got into our maze and heard that music and saw the lights and heard meat, it just, I had the stupidest fucking smile on my face and just getting the scares. The cool thing about the scares in my area, our break room was right in my area. So the actors were coming in and out all the time. So Nate and Quincy did it a few times as well. Nate would always, and I hope Nate's listening to this. If not, someone please forward it to him. He would set up a scare. Like, he would distract them by like, chef's going to get you. Wow, that sounds like him. I told you, chef's looking for you. And I would jump out. And at the same time, we're laughing like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And what's funny is we're not forcing that laugh because we both have our haunter's voice. We sound like this. So people that don't know, and again, Feast, you guys were fucking amazing. Kat, you were a cool, cool fucking maze manager. You guys made me feel very welcomed. And what they did on my last night, because I only worked with them up until, I think, I want to say October 27th, and the rest of the season, I took it off to go do my own thing, which I'm going to talk about. I noticed, the end of the night, my last night, and I told them, we had a group chat on Facebook. I told them, hey, thanks, guys. It's been amazing. Tonight's my last night. And so I noticed all the cast coming down the stairs and then going to the curtains that leads into the break room, all of them. And normally you'd only see the ones that rotate on the break schedule. And for us, it was you work an hour, you break for half an hour, so forth. Some people were 30 on, 30 off. So normally you would see the same people on break. But I noticed that the entire staff was coming down, cast. So they call me and they're all standing around. I'm like, what's going on? And Nate tells me, stand right here, fucker. You know, something like that with this haunter's voice. And they pretty much like, they paid homage to me in respect. And then they made me feel like family. A lot of them spoke individually. Nate did, Tim did. And there's a video floating around someone posted, and you see me covering my face because I was a little emotional about it. And it was sad. It was sad because this was my last night with them. And also it was very emotional, and it was very warming, and I was super grateful. I still am, because they made me feel like part of that family. And it was my first fucking year working with them. My first time working a major role, because I got main cast, and not only main cast, but I got the fucking chef. which I said, I wasn't too excited at first, but it grew on me and I grew to love it. So for them to pay respect to me and show their love and love and just their acknowledgement of who I was, that just meant a lot to me. And I really hope I get to see these guys again. And I really hope I keep in contact with them in and outside of the community. Because again, it's a small community, everyone knows them. So that's how was my last night working Feast. But I'm gonna backtrack. I got sick as a dog. So what I got hit by was a haunt plague. For those who know what the haunt plague is, this is my impersonation of it. Picture the flu-like symptoms with a cold, maybe a cough, it could be a runny nose, it could be sore throat, with just exhaustion on top of that. I literally got hit by it. That damn boat's got some bad juju. I don't know. I got hit by it, I think, by my second or third week. And on top of that, I had my haunter's voice. Hey, how's it going? I sound like one of the sisters from The Simpsons. Monorail. And it hit me pretty hard. I don't know if it's just that recycled air on that old ship or the ocean breeze coming off the harbor. But not only me, a lot of cast got hit by it. So you get hit by this haunt plague, which is just like the flu and cold on steroids. And then to top of that, you're tired because you're running around like a maniac. You're not sleeping enough. You're going to your day job. You're going to school. You're going home to your wife and kids, your girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You know me, you come home to your shitty little apartment here in downtown Santa Ana and go to bed. And I went on vacation too. I worked the first two weekends, three weekends, and then I went on vacation for 17 days. But I really didn't get to enjoy my vacation that much. Like when I went to Universal with some friends, I had no voice. My voice was blown out. I mean, it wasn't blown out, but I had a hard time talking. Excuse me. And it carried, like, I think I wasn't 100% until maybe the last week of October. So we all got a bag at Dark Harbor. We toughed it out. So you do your little haunters preventative kit. And someone's like, hey, you should talk about that on the podcast. And I was like, yeah, it's what it is. A lot of people, they have their remedies or they have their rituals. And some people like, okay, they do like a chloroceptive, like throat spray, or they'll do like, I forgot the actor's name. Cool dude. It was called Singer Spray and he bought it at Sprouts and it was like this lemon honey, spray with some type of like organic or just natural remedy, like Novocaine for your throat. It worked a couple of times. So what I did last year, I did something like that, but I stepped it up this year. I had protein shakes, protein bars, ibuprofen, a hand sanitizer, contact solution, because I wear contacts. Like Neutrogena, like makeup wipes, like the legit ones, not the Target ones, like legit ones, because someone suggested that to me. I like bought tons of like food, just like healthy food, so I don't have to, you know, spend too much time cooking. Everything was prepped. Cough drops. I was eating raw honey out of the bottle at the haunt, at work, in my backpack. I was drinking honey all day. I mean, honey tea, lemon tea. But I fucked up. What I didn't do this year, which I did last year, I loaded up on Gatorade. So I hit rock bottom one night. Just one night I was driving there. Didn't feel 100%. And prior to that, I stopped at, I think, Target to get some Pedialyte. The Pedialyte, all it is electrolyte for kids. But a lot of athletes, musicians, people perform, they drink it. It tastes disgusting as hell, but it helps out. So I had it in my backpack. And again, it's room temp. Get my costume on. Waiting for makeup. And my backpack, I set across the room where we queue for makeup. And I'm looking at my backpack. I might should get up and get that Pedialyte. But I just wasn't 100%. So I'm sitting there and I'm sweating. Excuse me. I'm sweating like crazy. Just dripping sweat and I'm hot. And all I'm literally wearing is a tank top under this chef costume. And it's usually pretty breathable. But for some reason, I'm just drenched in sweat and I'm just overheated. You know, I'm a sweaty bastard. I'm a big sweat hog. But this time, it just felt different. It just felt overheated. So I get called. I get called from the makeup artist. I forget who called me. I don't remember. My turn to get makeup. I'm like, just make it to the chair. Get your makeup. get your Pedialyte, head up to the break room feast and just chill out and just kind of just hydrate, relax, eat a protein bar. Do what you got to do. I sit in that makeup chair, and they're a little elevated, and they're tall chairs, like a bar stool. And just felt my equilibrium was off. And the second that artist hits me with the airbrush, I feel like I'm going to pass out. So with my eyes closed, I grab on his arm. I'm like, hey, I'm not feeling so hot. Long story short, I need a breather. Walked to my backpack, and I started downing that Pedialyte, and it's room temp, and it's salty, and it tastes like saline solution, which is disgusting. I see Amazon, and she's part of the talent supervision. I think cast supervision, I believe. And she, what I heard, she was an actress for 16 years. Amazing woman. Biggest heart in the world. Wears her heart in a sleeve, but then I think she'd rip your head off too, if she could. I love you to death. You just were top notch the entire time, and not only did your job, but you look out for me as a person. And I love you to death and respect you for that. Thank you. She's the first person I saw. And she must have saw it on my face. I just wasn't 100%. I said, hey, I just need someone to hold on to while I walk to the bathroom. And she's a tiny woman, but she's built like a bulldog. Like, I mean, she'd probably pick me up and power slam me. And her exact words were, you gotta piss, you gotta shit. I said, probably all three. I'll probably both and throw up. She's like, okay. And what's funny, prior to that, I did throw up a little bit. And a person that I'm my friends with online, a well-known slider, I'm like, hey, we finally get to meet in person. I'm all, excuse me while I go throw up in this toilet while you're doing your makeup. And I messaged them on Instagram. Well, hey, sorry. He's like, no worries, you're good. And I won't mention his name, but he's a good dude. And he's a known slider that gets to work wherever he wants pretty much and lives out of the area. He lives out of state, actually. Perfect gentleman, amazing voice, which I think you should get into scare acting. I'm sorry, not scare acting, dumbass. Voice acting. We discussed that prior. So anyways, so Amazon walks me to the bathroom. I end up puking my guts out, and she went to go do something. So I sat down in this chair, and I'm guzzling this Pedialyte. I stopped sweating to a point like started shivering. I started getting the chills. Multiple people came up to me, you okay, Rick? Or they're like, hey, you okay, chef? Because again, I'm a chef. And I'm like, I'm good. Apparently, I was pale as white as a ghost and had no makeup on. So, that being said, they decided to send me home. And I was a little bummed out because it was an important night, not only for Queen Mary, but it was an important night for Mr. David Wally. And I didn't want to let him down. The hot plate kicked my ass. So I downed that Pedialyte. I think I barely made it out of the parking lot where we parked for Dark Harbor. You know you're dehydrated because as soon as you drink fluids, it passes through and you have to piss right away. I pulled over and pissed on the side of the freeway. And it was a mean old 8-ball piss, like I was like this racehorse. Went home, I think I ate, drank a bunch of water, and I think I had a second Pedialyte here in my apartment. The next day, I must have slept for like 10 or 11 hours, and I just needed that. So a combination of dehydration, part of it was probably my fault not having Gatorade like I did last year, hot plague, and just lack of sleep. And it kicked my ass. It literally kicked my ass. And I wasn't scheduled to work that Sunday, but I just said, hey, I'll see you guys next week. And I came back strong, and everyone generally showed concern. So your question is the haunt plague, Arturo. Arturo wanted me to define that, and also the haunters like care kit. So what I did was cough drops, you know, for your throat because you're barking at people all day. Emergency, the like immune boost, like powdered energy drink, a daytime and nighttime type of like multi-symptom cold medicine. So I would take whatever I had to take during the day, and in order to sleep, I needed to take it at night. Raw honey, which I actually had 3 bottles. I bought a 3-pack from Costco, which I had one on my desk at work, which I was eating raw, the honey raw straight out of the bottle. It was a squeezable bottle. Put it in my lemon tea. I had one here at home, and I had one here in my backpack, my little haunter bag. You know, people have their haunt boxes. I was like, I just need a backpack, dude. You know, I'm not that important. And in between breaks, I was eating raw honey, which helped up my voice out a lot. My voice wasn't that bad. Maybe I'm learning more how to scream from my diaphragm and yell than just use my throat. But also I think I treated my throat more than I was treating my dehydration. Yeah, that's bad. I was focused more on like taking care of my throat than actually making sure I was fully hydrated. What's it have? Hand sanitizer, cough medicine, mints, because you don't want to be some stank ass monster yelling at people. Plus menthol or peppermint oil opens up your passages. So if you're congested, it helps you breathe better. Deodorant, which is a huge thing, because some of you stink out there in the hunt industry, and I don't want to offend anybody, so I was like, literally, toothpaste, toothbrush, mouthwash, deodorant, and a light body spray, not like a Bro Axe body spray, just something light, like a deodorant spray. What else? Water bottle. I was trying to drink like a gallon, a minimum a gallon of water a day, in like a 24-hour period. Particularly in the days out like Thursday, Fridays, I'd work all day and have to go to work. So my schedule was Monday, Thursday, Fridays, work all day, 7 to 4, leave work at 4, sit in traffic for an hour to get to Dark Harbor, get there about, a little before 5, get on the shuttles, drive up to the New Queen Mary, get costume on, check in, makeup. Sometimes makeup took 30 minutes, sometimes it took 2 hours. So it all depends. But that was Dark Harbor. And the haunt plague kicked my ass, and it kind of bled into my vacation time. So, and that's the haunt plague definition. And there's my haunter's care kit with Arturo, co-worker on me to talk about. So what I did was, I worked the 27th, and then I took the rest of the season off to go work the 1870 Haunt Manor. And what that is was a home haunt. And I'll put the links in the description. Everything I'm talking about, I'm going to put in the description of the podcast. So you guys go check it out on Instagram and whatnot, on Facebook. Most likely on Instagram. It was a home haunt that was the first year home haunt that was just built by my younger cousin, Michael. He's 15 years old, I believe. And he went to his first ever Midsummer Scream this year. He got the haunt bug. And he's like, I'm going to build a home haunt. I'm thinking he's going to put up some tarps and have some shitty props from a Halloween club. But no, this kid framed out partitional walls, and he had an air gag. He had a pop open window pallets. He created like a little mini maze with a yard display with jump scares and lights and a soundtrack. He went a little overboard. Not overboard, but he could approach things a little different. We'll talk about this in person, Mijo. Just things they need to do different for next year, if you're allowed to. And I was really impressed that this kid, 15 years old, no experience, just went on YouTube and was able to build this maze all on his own. With, donations here and there and finance on his own, but build a maze, which I worked as Greg Digger Joe. So he built a maze and did a yard display of the cemetery of a grave digger. An old timey grave digger was supposed to be like 30s or 40s. And then the concept of the haunt was a rich man married a young woman who had kids, and mysteriously or unexplained, he killed his newly found bride and the children in the house, and he disappeared. And the backstory extends, he was possessed by demons because of some reason or that. And it was a cool concept. And he had music from the Midnight Syndicate, and he created the characters himself and the costumes he bought here and there. But he engineered, designed, and built his own haunt. And I was really proud of him. And I worked for him, because technically I was working for him on the 30th and the 30th and 31st. And he had like a media night. He ended up on the SoCal haunt list. I was like, what? And it was fun. It was really, really fun just being around the family and my aunts and uncles, and my cousins, my mom was there, and being around my younger cousins and playing this character that he developed. And I was like, what do you want me to do? And I had makeup done. I got makeup done for my friend Jessica, who's done a couple of my characters, Louis Seifer, the handsome devil, and then just like the creepy, the guy doesn't even have a name. He's just the sculpt face paint I did for a Phantom Carriage. And she just did kind of like a ghoul makeup for this old timey gravedigger. It was like in coveralls and a flannel and like kind of like a like a Buster Brown Derby hat, and I'll just kind of talk to people when I wear contacts and all that. But that was fun doing that. It was fun working with him and just going back to where it started, like when I was a kid doing like a little cheesy like yard display in a haunt in my parents' house. Which is funny because I did the same thing. I was like a grave digger, like on a cloak. And all I did was I had a pile of dirt in the front lawn with like two tombstones. And I actually had a kerosene lantern with a candle. And I played some music in the window. And I think I rigged up like some bushes or some fishing line. And I just tugged on when people walked by. And it took me back to where it started. You know, having my own home haunt as a kid in my parents' yard. And here I'm 40 some years later. I'm, you know, worked at two major haunts, you know, Century Point and Queen Mary. And then now I'm here helping my little cousin with his home haunt. And I'm like this full-on character in his maze. And it was fun. You know, the boys were jumping out of the maze, sliding in the driveway, sliding down the sidewalk, entertaining, you know, not only the kids, but the adults that were trick-or-treating. And there was dialogue, and we messed with people. That was fun. So I did that on the 30th and 31st, and I'm super proud of him. He already got approached to help with a facade, a build for Midsummer Scream 2020 for the Hall of Shadows. And I'm amazed. And that's going to be with the whole house haunt with Bill. And Bill's a newfound friend. We're actually collaborating on a project now. So Bill, hopefully you're listening. I'm more than grateful for not only meeting you because you're a cool dude, but you giving my cousin this opportunity. And if things work out on this project that we're working on, what's going to prevent us from doing other things? We're going to start our own haunt one day. Watch. With a few other people. So from there, I ended haunt season with Sinister Point. November 1st and the 2nd. I got to work with my old school fam. My haunt fam. Not everybody was there I worked with last year. Again, last year at Scary Place, we're talking about a cast that was like 100 plus heroes. Maybe 12 to 15 people maybe the night I worked. Then a lot of the old school vets were there that I worked with and who gave me, you know, advice and whatnot. And a couple of the newbies I worked with, and which was cool to see, like little Chris and then Jeffrey. Jonathan was there. And that was fun. Different experience. Again, it wasn't the same as last year because, you know, your first experience is always probably your most memorable. But it was cool to come back home, to see Jeff, to see Paul, to see Richard, to see everybody else, to see David, to see Myra. Myra was my supervisor last year. And then we worked together amongst everyone else, Danny and Chris and Jeff, with everyone over at Rio over at the Spirit Lounge, which I wish we could do again. And what's funny, I did that completely free and didn't expect any money. And it was just fun to be part of that. I'm never going to forget that. And I'm glad there's videos. I'm glad there's photos. The Spirit Lounge in Brea was just the coolest fucking concept. And apparently Jeff and Chris, whoever else, were sitting on that for 7 years. And it just finally developed. And I had so much fun doing that. Like, I wish we had that all the time. But what I'm trying to say is, it was just cool to go back home, finish 2019 with where it started with my fam. And I can honestly say, like, I wasn't depressed like I was last year. You get this post-haunt blues. And what the post-haunt blues are is just, you're sad the Halloween's over. It's said you're sad you have to put the decorations away or you're no longer working haunt. It just, it was a different experience for me this year because maybe I did so much, I was ready for it to end. And also, I don't know, like, I just ended it on my terms, like, with my family. My blood family and my haunt family, my original haunt family, because Dark Harbor, they're my extended haunt family too. They're my new haunt family as well. It was just different, and I wasn't so like heartbroken that it ended. Like I said, you know what? I had my fulfillment. It was fun. It was great. I can't wait to do this again. At the same time, in the back of my mind, I was like, I got this thing pending in December, which is happening now. Literally today's Sunday, the 17th. It's going to start getting promoted on social media this Thursday, which is, let me check the date if you don't mind. Holy shit, the 21st, yes. So what I think I'm trying to say is the comparison to last year, last year's hunt season compared to this year. Definitely different experience because I was two different places. But the downtime in between, when like 2019, the beginning of 2019 started, I had nothing to do really. I didn't know what to do. And then once I started reaching out to the right people and just being patient, I did makeup. I got to work two different events, two different cons, and I got to do photo shoots. I got to do podcasts, videos, and all that. And I'm just like, I'm not doing this for popularity. I'm not doing this for monetary reasons. I'm not doing this for nothing besides just like fulfilling that creative bug, fulfilling that creative outlet. And I met some cool fucking people. And I'm more than grateful. People like Michael Santana from 2S Horror Cards Podcast and Manhattan Movies. And people like, you know, Bobblehead, Scaredy Cat Vasquez, and everyone else out there. There's too many to name, and I'm running out of time for this podcast. I don't want this to be too crazy of a podcast. Quick hour episode. Quick thing. So I'm going to reformat the podcast, the way it's going to be recorded and the way it's going to different type of music, different type of introductions. I have new mics. I have new software. So I'm putting more of an effort into the episodes with the help of some people. But it's going to be reformatted just a little bit, not too much. It's going to be me with guests and so forth, which I already have a couple guests lined up. So just bear with me. So I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. Again, this is just a solo episode, just me talking about what's going on and just expressing what my 2019 haunt experience was. And some things have changed in my personal life too for the better as well. Just people coming into my life, which I'm more than grateful for, and just have been there for me, physically, mentally, so supporting me as well. So hope you guys had a good haunt season, good October. Hope everyone's doing well. You're always welcome to reach out to me on Instagram. It's RickCreeper11. Also, you can reach out to me on my videography and photography and eventually event production profile, Dark Alley Productions. You guys can message me there. You can leave questions here too, I believe, through the Anchor app, which also ties into Spotify. But hope you guys enjoy this. Again, this is Rick. You know, I'm always going to be Rick. This Rick Creeper persona, just a stupid name I came up with for Instagram, but apparently I'm the host of this podcast. So hope everyone's doing well. Thanks for tuning in. Keep a lookout for new episodes, and everyone be safe this Thanksgiving. Everyone be safe this Christmas. There's a couple, I believe Christmas haunts popping up soon. I know Lorraine and Terror is doing one, and there might be a Christmas event actually happening at the Frida Cinema this December as well. Who knows? I might be involved in it, but stay tuned. I hope you guys are doing well. Thank you for tuning in. Until then, this is Rick Creeper, and I'll see you guys soon. Thanks. Jackass, how can you see him on a podcast? There's no video. You guys will hear from me soon. Thanks. Alrighty, everyone, that's it. Episode 3, this is a wrap. Thank you for tuning in, listening to me speak about my 2019 haunt season experience. Thank you also for tuning in for episode 3. Little honorable mentions. Thank you to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor, Los Angeles Haunted Hayride, and Sinister Point Productions. Also, the 1870 Haunt Manor. I put all the links to their Instagram accounts and their YouTube channels in the description of this podcast. Also, I put a link to Queen Mary's Dark Harbor trailer, 2019 trailer, which I actually make an appearance in. Super honorable, and I'm proud that I came in it being a first year cast member. Check it out. Hope you guys are having a good one, and I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye bye.